What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, sounds right.
This week really got away from me.
Yeah, that's right. It is because it was Bernie and I today on the
gas. It's been such an eventful week for me. I mean, the storm wasn't my storm, but like for I went through that, running my car off the road into a ravine, and then today I traded the old Rubicon in and got a new car.
You did it?
It's gone.
Are we getting rides?
Yep.
The famous one.
The famous one.
With no windows. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I swear to God, Rach, you were with me. I met six different people today. Like Sean from the newsroom was walking in as I was showing Rach the Jeep, and he goes, new car? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, hey, it's got windows.
Dave's always been known as the no windows guy. I would rather have no windows than have mice. In the car.
I wouldn't.
What about spider car?
Yeah, I was trying to link that up.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
If you had a choice between
right,
I have to have mice or no windows, I think I'm going no windows.
Although those things you're not going to have together.
Both. I was going to say, you're not going to have both.
Yeah. Well, they will die.
Yeah, Cold Snap's going to get all the mice.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you should have done. You should have just cracked a window. And I would have taken care of all of them.
No, Rach is so funny. So I've always remembered this. When I would get new shoes as a kid, I would fight it because I'd like that's no fun just going to get new shoes.
Yeah.
But I remember distinctly the feeling of sitting there. And you have your new shoes on, and you look at your shoes that you wore in, and you're like, how the hell did I wear these shoes in? There's nothing to them.
Yeah.
That's how I felt trading the car today. Like, I loved my Rubicon. Had it for 14 years, 215,000 miles, and, you know, I loved it. And I'm not ashamed to say, and I bought not new, it's got a few miles on it, the 2021, but I got a new Rubicon. Same color, so I didn't move too far, but I actually went over to my old Jeep and said goodbye in the Weber.
Did you tear up a little?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I get that. If you spend so much time in a car, even though it's just an object, get you places,
hey,
you
my
leave
car's
stuff
not an object.
In it.
Don't look at it like that.
Well, I remember when Phoebe was little, driving her and her best friend, A.D. Luna, around in the back seat, and they were smoking fake candy cigarettes and, you know, just stuff like that and just all the good times and us packing our asses and going to lunch and crawling in over the... So, yeah, I was a little emotional.
Yeah.
And you got to walk away.
Well, I mean, at some point, yes. I mean, it's going to happen at some point. The car's not going to last for the next 20 years.
Right.
And you're getting a car now that you're going to have a lot... You're going to like... You're going to enjoy it a lot more.
Guess what else I did? I bought an extended warranty like a real boy.
Look at you.
I'm now an extended warranty guy.
Look at that. Dave's a grown-up.
That's unbelievable.
Who knows what I'll do?
Did you get the undercoating?
Nope. Didn't get that.
No.
We don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, though, when you see all the little toys inside, right? Fancier radio.
Yeah.
Get the backup camera.
I felt insane.
Yeah.
I did. I felt like... I told Rach, I don't know what it is. You know, growing up in South Roxana, I don't feel like I deserve nice things.
Oh.
And it's not like I need to see a therapist for it. It's like I have agoraphobia or something. It's just that some people feel like I deserve this, and some people feel like I don't, and I'm in the I don't. And so driving in this new Jeep that has windows and other things, I'm just like...
It has windows.
I don't deserve this.
I don't deserve windows.
I really, honestly, like, that's about what I felt like I deserved. A car with no windows and lots of leaves and sticks in it, so.
I kind of get that, because I will say, it all comes back to the Subaru. But when I got my, this Subaru Outback.
Wait, there have been others?
Well, there was a Subaru Forester, and I'm trying to remember if this, it was when I've got the, I think it was the Outback, because the Forester drives a little bit more like a truck, and the Outback's, I love the Forester too, I could go back to it, but I guess the Outback is a little bit of an upgrade. And I remember walking out to it in the driveway thinking, I am not rich enough for this. Like, this is over the top flashy.
Yeah, I'm over my head.
I'm in over my head. I am giving off the wrong impression. I'm giving off the impression that I'm doing much better than I actually am. Like, that's how I felt. Like, it was a luxury car. It still feels like a luxury car to me. I drove my little, my base model Mazda 3. I say base model. I think it was the, whatever it is, it was the version that's before the base model. I didn't even have automatic locks. I didn't have power windows. It was a
still got the roll down windows.
I had the roll down windows. People would like motion for me to roll down my passenger window. I'm like, I can't. You know, your friends come in, you're unlocking, you're leaning and unlocking. So when I went to the Subaru Outback, I literally felt, Dave, what you felt, like, this is too good of a car for me. Not because I think lowly of myself, but just like, I'm over my skis with this one. This is too fancy.
Yeah, it's funny. My good friend Rach, like, once she saw it and everything and knew that it was done, she goes, I got to tell you, like, you're a well-to-do lawyer, top 20 show in the country. You needed a car with windows. Like, it just didn't fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that you have windows, I think you need to embrace the rubber ducks.
Do you?
I think you need to give it a shot. Because now people won't reach in and take them if they're on your dash.
Yeah, I never thought about that. They could crawl right in there, couldn't they?
They'll steal your ducks.
But isn't the duck thing that people put them on your car, not that you put them there?
Yeah, and then you have to put them in the car. You have to, once you're given a duck, you have to put it inside on the dash.
Do
that
carry ducks around so you can give them to other Jeeps?
I think so.
You must.
Have her into it, you are. Yeah.
Is it you only give a duck to a Jeep that you find attractive?
Something like
Or is it every time you see a Jeep, you have to
get like a rose in The Bachelor?
Is there a Jeep wave?
Yeah.
There is, so if Jeeps see each other, everybody's
kind of like a little peace sign.
Okay. Because they do that, like, that's a Corvette thing.
It's a motorcycle.
Corvettes drive by each other, they're like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, it's funny, because you can tell how long someone's had a Jeep, because when I first got my Jeep, I was waving like a little kid at the zoo.
You're like,
I don't know how
guy's new money.
My sister, new Jeep.
New money.
my sister has a Jeep. She always wanted one. And my sister and brother-in-law, they have a Jeep. However, you guys all know the show Frasier.
Yes.
It's like if Niles got a Jeep. And so I don't know how they interact with other, like, if they're like smiling too big.
Right. Niles
like
in a Jeep.
And doing the Jeep sign. But like where Niles is trying so hard, we're like, I'm Jeep Niles. That's how I picture my sister interacting in her Jeep.
Yeah. You know, going back to something you said about the shoes, when you would get a new pair of shoes, it's not until you get older that you realize how, I don't know if strange is the right word, but thinking back to when I just had a pair of shoes, like, those were my shoes. There weren't like two or three or four or five pairs.
Yeah, a lot of choices.
It's just like, if I leave the house, that's what I'm putting
that's
on.
So true.
Unless it's the winter and you had your moon boots.
The moon boots.
Yeah.
But isn't it weird that now I was wondering, did I just grow up really poor where I only had one pair of shoes?
It was an era thing. Because I think all of anybody I knew back then, it was you had
one pair of shoes.
Unless you had like your separate shoes for like, I have my basketball shoes or your baseball shoes. Whatever.
But you're leaving the house shoes, doing anything, going to school, going to the store.
Well, you had dress shoes, but that would only be for...
I didn't have any dress shoes.
Like, we had like church shoes.
Yeah, no, we weren't. Yeah, they weren't church shoes, but they were dress shoes. We just wore tennis shoes to church. We were allowed to do that.
Whoa, you Catholics.
Yeah. Whoa, you guys.
Yeah, they were nice tennis shoes, though. They're Nikes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't remember ever having two pairs of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, was definitely not two pairs of wear-around shoes.
No.
Every pair of shoes you had was a purpose. There was the winter snow boots. Yeah. There was the dress, you know, got to go to a wedding or whatever, that kind of thing.
And I know there's a comedian, and I do not remember who made the joke about seeing a guy with brown shoes. And you know the guy's rich because that means he has two pairs of shoes.
Right.
Funny.
Because if he has brown, that means he has black.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
I remember the shoe game starting, and I've told this story so many times, but in seventh grade, all the popular kids had suede Puma Clydes.
Okay.
And I wanted it more than I've ever wanted anything. And I got suede blue Kmart tracks with two X's and tried to sell them off as Italian Pumas.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That didn't work well.
Yeah. No.
And then I saved up my own money. They're $28.50 at JCPenney at Eastgate in Wood River. And I bought them myself. The whole time my dad was dog cussing me because he couldn't do anything about it because it was my money. And I remember him asking the guy who was helping me try on the shoes. He's like, you have a job. Can you afford these shoes? This is the kid. Blah, 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 blah. And, I remember for the first time ever in my life just being like, keep talking, old man. Like,
I earned
and then,
this.
And I've told this story so many times, but it just sticks with you. The day I wore them in the first day in seventh grade, I'm like, this is it. This is it. I'm popular. And the hitman for the popular group told me, doesn't matter if you have Pumas, you're still unpopular and ugly.
Yeah.
And from South Rexana.
Little jerk. Yeah. I forgot, what happened to this guy? Is he dead?
I've never looked him up.
You should. Yeah.
Let's look him up right now.
Yeah, let's look him up. let's dox him right now. The I think that if I remember the generation right, because I was in high school starting in like in 1986, 7, like that school year. Like right at the beginning of the basketball shoes blowing up, where it wasn't
Jordans.
Where it was Air Jordans and then Adidas were big, like all of these, and it was like for us when you were still playing basketball, that was the competition who could get the coolest basketball shoes and which ones, because you had Ewings and you had Jordans and you know what
I had? I had Chuck Taylors. Real ones.
Oh yeah. Those are the longest lasting style
of
shoe
support.
Ever. No, but
they're terrible.
Support. No, they're not good for athletics.
Awful.
They are just.
No, they're good. They still look
good. It's a good look.
They're still stylish. People have
worn
them.
Yeah, they're cool to wear to work.
Yeah.
They're not so great to play basketball.
No, they're terrible for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, ours was like we got the first generation where you had the little pumps of air so they could
pump up your
shoe. Yeah, you had the Reebok pump. And then I never had those because I hated Reeboks. I was an Adidas Nike guy.
But I remember
Ewings when I played basketball, because, you know, me and Patrick Ewing had a lot in common.
Sure, yeah.
When Jordans were the thing, there was nothing like that. I mean, there were other shoes that guys wore, but the Jordan was a completely different animal. And I remember the first kid in school that got a pair of Jordans that I knew had them. We were all like, wow.
And early, they were only the black and red.
Yeah, so he didn't,
very
he
early,
the,
it was
yeah, yeah.
only that, because we couldn't wear them for our high school because they didn't match our colors.
Man, I tried so hard. I had the fake polos, the Knight. The first pair of nice jeans I ever bought were a pair of Britannias that turned out to be girls.
Oh.
Yeah, they had no back pockets at all.
Uh-oh.
And I had an ass that wouldn't quit.
I
looked like a fly girl from Solid Gold Dancers. And, one of my good girlfriends.
Solid Gold, holy crap.
Yeah, I had some junk in the trunk.
God, my parents love that show.
She pulled me aside. She's like, first of all, your ass looks amazing. Second of all, those are girls.
Wasn't that guy in that show, wasn't that like the guy that taught John Travolta how to do the stuff?
Danny Terrio.
Yeah, wasn't he the guy that trained him for like Saturday Night Fever and all that?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
I used to love that show.
They just had a show about a guy and his lady dancers, and they would just dance to the latest songs.
Lady dancers.
That's the entire show. That's the entire show. Here's Danny Terrio and these ladies
lady
that dance.
You just sounded 90.
I know.
What's up with that guy and
well, they
lady
never
dancers.
Gave the ladies names. It was only that guy's name. They didn't be like, well, this is Jessica, this is Jenny. It was just, there's Denny and the girls.
The gals.
I think we found the new name for the DGS.
I think we did. Dave and his lady dancers.
And let's be honest.
Live show.
None of the dads that were tuning in were tuning in for Denny Terrio. For the ladies.
Hey, you know what else I did this week that's kind of a grown-up stuff? I put stuff on my hose nozzles. So they don't freeze. And I put T-shirts covered with aluminum foil. So, wait, on the outside.
Oh, in the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
T-shirts covered in aluminum. That's a... I've never heard of that.
For the outside?
That's a good reason. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You know the little nozzle that comes out?
Yeah.
They said to cover those. You can buy things from, like, Menards to do it. Or you can just put a T-shirt in aluminum foil.
Really? I always left them.
Nice.
Yeah. You just leave them?
Yeah. I mean, I unhook the hose and do all that.
But yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't know you're supposed to cover them. Because, like, the unhooking the hose, yes, all of that. Huh.
Wow.
Also, I think that the heat of the sun should be measured in Totino's pizza rolls. I had some pizza rolls last night. They are the hottest thing on the planet Earth.
I've never had pizza rolls and not burned my mouth.
Ever.
Yeah, you got to wait.
Are girls like guys, like you bite it and you burn it and then you just go right back in?
No, I don't do that.
You're a girl.
I just go, I spit it on the plate.
Ew.
You're one of Dave's lady dancers.
You're a girl.
I'm not sure that treat is divided by gender.
I just wondered.
Just a question.
Either way, I don't care.
Guys are kind of like dogs.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of dumb.
Well, I fit that.
Yeah, I bite into a hot one, and then the next one I just go full. Let's go.
Right.
The entire thing, don't even bite.
You do?
No.
Oh.
Which is worse, burning your mouth or a brain freeze from ice cream?
Brain freeze.
I think the burning of the mouth
burning
is
your
worse.
Mouth.
Because the brain freeze doesn't last.
If yes, it does.
If you burn the top of your mouth,
you can
feel that for days.
I'm with Ron.
If you do it wrong, it's bad.
What's the longest?
Yeah, and you feel like you're about to have a stroke.
Right,
you
but what's
do.
The longest you've ever felt after effects from a brain
An eternity?
Freeze? Yeah, yes.
An no, absolute that's just, eternity.
Yes. That's just what it feels like.
An eon, 1 billion
years.
You
burn your tongue and it's burnt for days and it ruins everything you
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, but if you put a cigarette on my arm, it's only going to hurt for like 10 seconds. That's pretty bad,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but you got a little burn there for days. You know, it's going to last.
I think we should use it to interrogate Guantanamo Bay prisoners.
Totino's?
Give them a slushy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring in the Totino's pizza rolls.
Alternating brain freeze, mouth burn, brain
They're
freeze.
They're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Here
Give
you
me
go.
Something cold.
Have a slushy.
But you got to finish it in 5 seconds. Or
and you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Finish it in 5 seconds or you get the pizza roll again.
Speaking of Gitmo, I just saw a guy. I just saw a guy in a Spider-Man costume. He was like, I think he was entertaining a kid's party or something. And they're out in the back, and he jumps into the swimming pool in the outfit. So it's covering his face, and you could see him after a minute start to struggle because you realize, oh, this guy's waterboarding himself because he got the mask wet.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he couldn't breathe, and all the adults had to jump in and save him.
Oh, my gosh.
Why is he going in the pool with that?
I don't think he knew what was going to happen. So here's, if you are wearing a Superman costume or a Spider-Man, do not jump into the pool because you will waterboard yourself.
Unless it's like you can stand in that end.
Of course.
Man, Wheels is on fire.
Of course,
today.
Kevin.
Oh, my God.
Captain Obvious.
Unless it's a baby pool.
Here, hang on.
This is fine.
Stand up, Spider-Man. Stand
like you
up.
You can do that definitely like one of those jacuzzis. You'd be fine.
You're like a superhero called the Contrarian.
Well, what if you could stand up? Oh.
What if
in
you weren't
case.
Wearing the Spider-Man outfit? Then yeah. Could you?
Yeah.
You Kevin could. Just comes flying into places and goes, I don't think so.
I think you could just stop
well
at
actually,
like.
Actually, man.
So funny.
Well, actually. It'd be the worst.
Oh, my God. He is the.
It'd be the only one where the citizens are trying to kill the superhero.
If Kevin were a superhero, he would be.
No,
well,
it was,
actually,
no,
man.
We said it was I was the contrarian.
Yeah.
That was the.
No, you were called Well Actually Man.
No, it was contrarian.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
See, now he's doing
no,
it right
it
now.
Wasn't.
He just can.
Yes,
I know. See,
I'm always.
I don't break character, bro. I guess.
We need to get you an alter ego just to give
identity.
Us a break sometimes.
Oh my gosh!
Put on a pair of glasses and be nice.
I remember what it was.
Can we meet
be
Kevin?
Quiet and
no, it was
agreeable.
He's in the middle of Gotham. He's like, is it really that bad with the Joker? I don't think so.
Listen, if I was that way, you guys would be like, something's weird.
But I just remembered yeah. it was Answer Man.
Oh, the Answer Man, because I would Google everything.
Yes.
You are definitely, I think, contrarian. There's a slight difference. There's nuance in contrarian versus well, actually, because you're more like, nope, no, it isn't. You're fine.
Yeah.
That's not a well, actually, which has a more
That's
like,
true, because I don't really care. I'm just going to tell you.
You're just like, nope, no one would give me $1 million. Nope, not going to think about it. It's hypothetical. Why would I do
he
that?
He enjoys it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay in a pool. What if it's a baby pool?
All right, Kevin, let's say you got $1 billion.
I don't play the lottery.
That would never happen. Yeah. So I would, well, okay. Just play along.
Every time someone
kill.
Says something sus, it's like he found a Reese's cup or something. He's like, well, I don't think that.
No.
Can you hear the thunder? 134 DG Ass on Kim Wex. Happy Thursday. You better run. You better take cover. I shouldn't even say this.
Well, we're all doing a lot of shouldn't say this, but saying it anyway these days. So.
Okay. Because I don't, I want to err on the side of being kind. I do. I try to always do that. But I also want to kind of say what a lot of people are thinking, and I never mind if people push back. But, and this is no giant thing, but after 4 or 5 days, I feel like the snow removal overall was a fail. Like, it's 4 days later, and I was on Olive today heading out to Weber, and it was bumper to bumper, one lane cleared on Olive Boulevard. And,
major thoroughfare.
And just, like, what are we doing?
Amy, did you see her picture that she tweeted yesterday?
I did.
That was a shock, too, because Highway 40, Wednesday afternoon, so 4 days.
That's really a hot spot there,
too. And that's a hot spot, that 40 from Spady, Lindbergh to 270, Ballas, completely snow-covered, almost two lanes, the inside lane and the middle lane. And when I say snow-covered, I mean snow covered.
No, it was, and then the outer road on 40 hadn't been touched at all.
It hadn't been touched. The Timberlake Manor was crazy. And then, I was still surprised, like the Skinker 40 entrance is still one lane. Hanley exit, Hanley and 40. I mean, these are major thoroughfares. That was a mess. Now, I did read it, that MoDOT is minimum 40 drivers short, which is a lot, and some of the drivers that they have are just new drivers, and there is a lot to be said for experience. Yeah. There's an art to it, so I think they're doing what they can with what they have, but there was a shortage.
Did they say why they're short? Like, nobody wants the job?
I think it's kind of what everybody, in the same way, like, you know, plumbers are short, and trades are short, and drivers are short. They're struggling to get people, and they're pulling people in and training them and probably pushing them out as quickly as possible, so... Yeah,
shouldn't a place like MoDOT, though, be like pushing that? Like, hey, we're short. We need people. Let's get on KMOX. Let's get on TV and do a story about it.
We talked to them.
But I mean, like, it should be a constant pitch because these things are safety issues, man.
I thought they do contract people with plows on their cars to help out.
I would think. That's what I asked about the other day.
I thought they did.
But how is it possible to be 75 hours past the last snowflake falling and things are still not clear?
And I can't.
That can't be.
Andrew could speak to it more because he lives in Illinois, but I could tell you the highways, the interstate on Tuesday when I came back from up north, it was perfect. All the way down from Chicago, all the way into St. Louis. Perfect.
So it can be done.
So IDOT did well.
Everything in Illinois has been great.
In Alton side point. Streets and everything?
Yeah, at this point. You know, things were a little rough on Monday, but by this point,
that, right?
Everything is cool.
Of course.
Like, for a day or two, we understand, like,
it was a bad storm.
Monday, it's going to be tough when you get 10, 12 inches of snow. Like, we all get that, but it's Thursday.
Yeah. I was a bit shocked.
Like, come on, man.
By Chesterfield, and I think there was actually a separate story on KMOV just on Chesterfield. Chesterfield was bad. I mean, actually...
Well, they don't have any money there, so...
Yeah, the entrance exit ramps, the overpasses. I actually, again, when I got off the highway where it was not cleared, I was going to a doctor's appointment, and I'm turning left, and another guy just had already, he was stuck in an embankment somewhere, and I'm thinking, man, this is 4 days later, you're still stuck in on an embankment in an overpass. So, yeah, Chesterfield was bad. I was surprised at Creve Coeur. Chesterfield is not good.
So, I think this is interesting because, to me, there's a bigger question here, right? When everybody says, because everybody's saying this, right? Police department is saying it. Obviously, MoDOT. Some in food service and other businesses, we just can't get anybody to take our jobs. Well, don't you then owe it to everybody, especially when you serve the public, to find a way to make those jobs more appealing, pay people more, give them more vacation? The explanation can't just be, well, nobody's applying. Sorry, you don't get police.
I know sometimes.
Well, we don't have enough people to plow the road. Sorry. Like, sorry's not an explanation. You have to find out how. And if lawmakers won't give you the money, somebody needs to throw the lawmakers under the bus.
Well, I think
because we have to have those things.
Said than done. Because I do know there are certain, you know, trades that have incredibly generous programs that are trying to get workers, and it is a new generation of Americans, and a lot of younger people do not want to go into certain jobs. And I mean, I would say some of the outreach programs from businesses, companies, and trades in general have been extraordinary, and they're having a hard time getting a new generation.
I think it's one of the biggest misnomers in our society. When I was coming up, You went into the trades because you couldn't get into college. And I think that that view still holds with a lot of people.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
It was framed that way for a while, for sure.
So Phoebe is a sophomore at KU. And she may graduate and go do great things. She may go to law school. She may, who knows what the hell she's going to do. But selfishly, if she said, you know what, Dad, I think I'm going to be an electrician, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
Because I would know she's always going to be employed, that she's going, you know,
good benefits.
Need good benefits. Yeah. Probably won't be rich unless she opens up her own shop, but that's okay too. But I would feel better. Like if she just graduates in 2 years from KU, she may. Who knows? But graduating from a four-year university, in my humble opinion, is no longer like any kind of a guarantee of a great job.
And I would say that my criticisms that I'm throwing out there are less about private businesses and more about public services. We have to fix the roads. We have to clear the roads.
I agree with
you. We have to police. We have to be safe. Those are not negotiable.
Yeah.
And we can't let them be negotiable and let people who are in charge of them say, well, nobody's applying. No, you need to do it. You have to find a way to get it done. And if that means paying people 60% more than your current pay, then you have to find the way. There's no impossible in this.
What if they come to you as a voter and say, we need a new 1% tax on gas because we have to pay these people more than we...
As long as you're telling me that's what it's going for, I don't want to do it just to do it. But if you're saying, listen, this is what will cover and get us to the level we need to be with our police department, I think a lot of people will be like, all right, if you're telling them specifically, this is what it's going to do. But I mean, how many people's lives are at risk when the roads are as bad as they have been for a couple of days? When you don't know that the highway is covered and the part you're coming off of is not covered and you hit that stretch, how dangerous is that?
Mm-hmm.
How dangerous is that? Not just for you, but for anybody that's around you. And then think about the money lost from insurance claims and time at work missed because you got a car accident and now you have to take the day off because you got it. Or not to mention injuries and insurance claims on health, or God forbid anybody dies in a car accident, or the time spent for your officers on duty responding to things that they might not otherwise have to respond to. Like, there's a lot of butterfly effect from these types of things not getting done. We can't pretend or allow the explanation to be something when we know it's not as simple as just do it. I understand that. But you are in the position that you are in to do those things. And if I can't do the job that I'm told, I'm fired. And all of us are in that position. I mean, like, if it means doing something unpopular, then do what's unpopular.
Well, I think that a couple things might be at odds with each other. When people want these services done, generally speaking, but I'm not sure that even if you explain to them what the higher tax would be, even if it's only 1%, I don't know that they go for it. Because mm-hmm. people generally
don't
like paying taxes.
Yeah.
They think they should have all the services, but not pay any of the taxes for it. So I'm not, and that's not everybody. I think most of us, a lot of us recognize that it's necessary. You live in a society, you got to pay taxes because we need these services. That's just how society works. But there are far too many people who just hear the word tax and they're immediately turned off. They don't care what is on the other end of it. They just don't want to do it.
No, I totally agree that there are a percentage, but maybe there's another percentage that will hear it and be like, eh, I probably will go
for
that.
So.
Because you don't need but 51%. You don't need 75%. You don't need a supermajority to get agreement on things. And also, if we're going to talk about what needs to go and what doesn't need to go, I'll tell you what doesn't need to go out of a budget. Safety. Whether that means police or roads or whatever, safety doesn't need to go. Almost anything else can go before safety goes.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I mean, it's just things can sound simple or easy, and they're not, especially when you're
contradicting the contrarian.
Yeah, that's, just when you're dealing with people, like when you're looking at taxes. I know we people voted for the tax to go to police officers, and then it doesn't end up going to the police officers, or you have a tax that's supposed to do this and it doesn't do that, or how do you define safety? Because I think safety is police officers, but Megan Green might think it's just, you know, education, and we need social workers, and so it just depends on what city are you in, because you can't do
all the things. St. Louis County is working in a budget deficit right now. So how people define safety, how people prioritize safety, how people might say we need to pay police officers more, which means we might have fewer trucks. I'm not saying it's a tit for tat with trucks and police officers, but my point is there are some things that absolutely we can do better, and certain cities are doing better. I think the city of Clayton, like, I didn't see MoDOT necessarily in the city of Clayton, but I saw city of Clayton trucks with their own plows. Now, they've got the resources to do it. I would think Chesterfield might be too, although Chesterfield is much larger. And so, you know, how is the city going to run? That's why local elections matter, but people are going to have different priorities because Megan Green and Tashara Jones always talk about safety. But their definition of how to make the city safer is very different from my
definition.
Well,
Olive and Creve Coeur is not St. Louis City, so what's happening there?
Well, no,
we were talking about how that's not plowed.
Yeah. No, and that's why I brought up Chesterfield. I was saying Chesterfield is not, and I don't know.
Well, Tashara Jones has nothing to do with that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Sorry, that was an example of
priorities. Do these things not used to get done?
Sorry, I brought up Tashara Jones. I was just saying how people can say the same words and mean different things. Yeah. Like Tashara Jones will talk about police and safety, and so will I. We mean different things. I was saying with these snow plows, because Kevin was talking about safety, I don't know how this different city governments, like how much are they relying on MoDOT? Because Clayton had their own little trucks. Does Chesterfield have their own trucks? I don't know. Does Creve Coeur? It doesn't look like it. So is Creve Coeur relying on MoDOT? Which is fair, except MoDOT is down 40 drivers. I'm saying I don't know exactly why certain areas are cleaned off and why certain areas are not. And I think it probably is a combination of a shortage of workers and maybe some inefficient governing. I don't know where the scales fall in each township. Just like what do we have, 72 police departments in the St. Louis like county surrounding areas? That's a lot to work with different departments running separately. So I don't know with the snowplow area.
Right. But you're totally right about everything you just said. The problem is, when you screw it up, you need to fix it. Like, who in this world gets to just say, "Welp, that happened. Oh, well."
Apologies.
Nobody. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And where are all of these people who want to be in public and want to be on the radio and want to be seen when it's time for election? But when this stuff rolls around, you can't find them. Where's an explanation? Why don't you have the guts to get out there and say, this is why this went wrong. This is why this is bad. And look, this is why we went this way.
You really should be a politician.
No. I mean, I would do that part. I can promise you that.
Oh, I know that.
I'll face the heat if I screw up.
I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled. I think about the
150 DGS. So, Andrew, your brother was evacuated from his home in L.A.?
Yeah, he got the notice pretty late last night. They were already sheltering another guy and his cat from farther up north of L.A. Where the fire started. And then when the big fire in the Hollywood Hills started, that's not too far from where they live. So they got the notice. They got the... I don't know how you get that. I guess it just, maybe it comes through like a text on your phone or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
If you sign up because the city of St. Louis has, you know, weather alerts and stuff like that. So I think they've got the same thing.
I was listening to CBS National News last night on KMOX, and they had a guy in L.A. pleading with people to sign up for the alerts if you haven't, or don't turn them off. He goes, I know they're annoying. I know your phone's going to keep going off, but please, I think that's how they're doing it, Andrew.
I don't mean to be funny or insensitive, but what's going to keep that from burning L.A.?
Nothing.
Like zero containment.
That's the problem. Man. I mean, that's why they just went south. They went to Long Beach. They had a friend. And that's what it all comes down to. Everybody in Los Angeles is just reaching out to, like, friends that they have. Or, you know, some people are desperately trying to find hotels that are, you know, south of L.A. so that maybe they can just flee south.
People will always find a reason to be mean, but people are going off on James Woods.
Oh, man.
Because he gave an interview and he cried and said, yesterday I was swimming in my pool, and people are like, oh, poor me. And
well, he's done some bad stuff.
Oh, I know.
So,
and then David Muir, the guy from ABC, have you seen this one?
Clothespins.
Clothespins, great.
A fellow journalist called him a pathetic narcissist because he. Have you seen this, Rach?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call him that. I think that's a bit harsh, but it did make me roll my eyes. Like, there are five people at least who are dead, and people are losing their homes, and you're like, I got to make sure my jacket looks fitted enough when I'm on TV. It's just very tone.
He's like, I look skinny. Skinny enough for the
Anderson
fire.
Anderson Cooper,
right?
Did you guys watch that last night?
Yeah,
no.
He was right in the middle
all
of
day.
It.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Well, there was one CNN lady who almost didn't get out because she did her live shot. Something shifted with the wind, and she had to ask a firefighter. She goes, how do we get out of here? He shrugged and said, you can try going south. But
the winds are unbelievable.
It looks like she was driving literally through hell, but she almost got out. But that's why I almost didn't get out. That's how I felt, Dave. Like, I'm like, Anderson Cooper seems awfully close.
As quickly as that spreads, and we were talking about the wind and the gusting and how embers can go miles.
Yeah.
Like, how do you fight that?
Mm-mm.
Especially if planes can't get in the sky to drop water or drop the solution, whatever they use, because the winds are crazy. How do you...
Isn't it kind of weird, too, that in 2025, I know we have, like, the flame retardant stuff, the red stuff they drop from the big bomber-looking planes, but we're still basically putting water on flames. Like, it seems like in 2025 we'd have something that would nip this in the bud.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's a lot of talk about why do they not have enough water. There is, like the hydrant system is not meant for entire cities. Yeah. It's meant to put out a building or two or a block. It's not meant, you know, like, that system is not meant to protect an entire city the size of Los Angeles. We can't do it. Like, it runs out of water very quickly when you're talking about something of that magnitude. Yeah. If it were that, I mean, like, going back to what Amy was saying, if fighting the fires were that simple, we wouldn't have we wouldn't have these big things. You wouldn't have these things, neighborhoods being blown up and all that. Like, this is not the first time. It's the first time in L.A., but it's happened all over California at various points.
You can't do anything about foliage being dry, like trees and brush and all that stuff being dry. What are you going to do about it?
Take
out all the palm trees?
Yeah, and like you said, palm trees aren't even indigenous. I do think, kind of like we're talking about the snow, right? Like, the snow, it was ice. What are you going to do? This is on a much bigger scale where the fire is going to happen. And in fact, we know the wildfires are going to happen more frequently, and they're going to be more dangerous, and it's going to be drier. So I think that's why a lot of the talk does go to leadership, like, okay, well, you know, I had seen someone talk about their neighborhood. They had been asking for just simple brush and dry brush, cleaning that up. And the same way we say pick up our trash, they were saying simple civic services like brush removal is super important in a place where you can have wildfires. Or, you know, people talking about, you know, the fire department and so forth. And that's all local government. But those are the conversations they're having because they're saying, well, if we had gone with the brush removal that didn't happen, or if we hadn't cut the budget for the fire department, not that the fire wouldn't happen and be devastating. It absolutely would. I think they're thinking, could we have saved some homes?
Right.
Which is, an important conversation.
Right. Maybe a whole neighborhood. Right, right.
So, I mean, they're still saying it's 0% contained.
Which is crazy.
So then what percentage would it be had they done that stuff?
Maybe
like
even
10%?
That's huge, though. If that's
it
your
could be.
Neighborhood, 10% is worth saving if it saves someone's life.
Sure. I think that on any large scale, blaming the governor and blaming the fire chief for being a DEI hire is just is nonsense. This was going to happen, and it was going to be devastating.
Yeah.
No matter what they did ahead of time, you can't.
Because I think even that fire chief was the one that
wrote
the mayor. So they're going to have conversations in the same way we're talking about the snow removal on a much lower level. But you could say that accident on 40. Okay, so it's one accident you prevented. That's a big deal to the person in the accident.
Mm-hmm. True. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.